I hope you started David Price yesterday, the Vegas favorite. Rough night for him. We'll talk about that and much, much more. Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. It is Thursday. We're doing buy or sell. Adam Azer with Al Melchior and Chris Towers. I know we have at least one Price DFSer in the Fort Lauderdale studio down there.
Yeah, it's me.
It is
it
you.
It did not go well.
It didn't. But that's baseball.
It was a disaster, actually.
Yeah, no good. And Chris, how are you today?
I'm good. I didn't play David Price yesterday, and it was still a disaster for me, so I'm feeling it as well.
Well, Chris, you inspired me to reach out on Twitter and ask people which TV show they would like to see rebooted.
Okay.
In the spirit of Full House. So we'll read those at the end of the show. We'll also talk DFS at the end of the show. But today, buy or sell, we'll look at Jimmy Nelson, some pleasant surprises. I don't know if you guys came prepared with pleasant surprises, did you?
I did.
Oh, good.
I hope that's a pleasant surprise.
That is. That's pleasant surprise number one. I asked you guys at like midnight last night, so I didn't know if I gave you enough time.
See, the secret is we set expectations low, and then if we meet them, you're pleasantly surprised.
Well, there you go. I am pleasantly surprised, so thank you for doing that. Bullpens. We'll talk about the Pittsburgh bullpen. There is news out of there. We got some injuries to get to, and a lot more from yesterday, including Billy Butler and Alex Guerrero. And right now, it's time for an impromptu game of Name That Player.
All right.
You guys ready?
Let's do it.
What a surprise.
Okay, do you know all the hints?
No, I didn't. Because
I accidentally emailed you all the hints and then told you not to read the email.
I was in the car as that email got here.
Okay.
So I was not going to look.
But every time you say a surprise, it's Name That Player, so I should be catching on by now.
Well, it is Name That Player. Here we go. First one of the year. I am hitting .315 with a .377 on base and a .519 slugging percentage. I am the number 9 outfielder in points leagues, number 22 in roto. Batting .315, slugging .519, top 10 in points, 22nd in roto. I am on my fourth team in my 9th season. I am second in baseball in runs scored. And second in baseball in triples.
Well, it's not Paulo Orlando.
No, he is first with 5. And first in runs scored is Will Myers, so it's not him. All right, according to Wikipedia, I weighed 10 pounds at birth and was nicknamed Sumo Sam.
Is this Sam Fold?
Yeah, it is Sam Fold.
We tied.
I think I got there a little earlier.
9 year major league career?
Pretty sure.
He's been around for a long time. He had breakout with the Rays in the first half. That was like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
It's 2015, man.
Well, listen.
Time is a flat circle.
Not a shock that he's scoring a lot of runs. He's batting leadoff for the A's.
Yeah.
Sam Fold is 33 years old and has a bunch of triples, so that's why he's the number 9 outfielder in points. Do you guys like him at all?
Not in 12-team mixed, but in anything a little bit deeper, I like him a lot. And actually, you said he's doing better in roto than points, right?
No, much better in points.
Other way around, because I actually think he's long-term probably going to be more valuable in roto because he could get you some steals.
I got to tell you, though, he has had a terrible career.
when does Coco seasons. Crisp come off the DL?
Fairly soon, but are they going to take their leadoff hitter out?
I mean, Coco Crisp's a pretty good leadoff hitter himself.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought maybe that with this start, Sam Fold has bought himself some relevance with the A's.
I think he'll see some playing time, but I don't think the A's are the type of team that's going to change their plans based on 2 weeks.
They won't, but they are the kind of team that uses every player on the roster. So, and that's kind of what happened late last season. Fold got to play a good amount. So
he hit .210 with a .275 on base percentage.
Okay, well, we'll move on from Sam Fold. Hope you had fun with our surprise today. Stat of the day number 1, Archie Bradley. 5th pitcher since 1914 to allow 2 hits or fewer in 6-plus innings in 2 of his first 3 starts. And that is from the Associated Press recap of the game. Bradley's owned in 82% of leagues. He's 2-0 with a 1.45 ERA. He has 145 walks in 18 and two-thirds innings. Actually, it's 11 walks, 12 strikeouts.
I was actually buying that walk total to just, get ahead of the game here and start buy or sell.
What do you think of Archie Bradley and this start he's off to?
Fluky. Excuse me.
this was kind of the this was kind of the book on him in the minors as well. We knew he could strike guys out. We knew he had stuff, but the control hasn't been there, and it's not there in the majors either.
So is 82% owned seem a little high to you?
Yeah, I think it's very high. I mean, it's understandable because there's upside, there's prospect hype that comes with him. So I could see people taking a flyer, but even with that, I think it's a little bit high.
I think it's fine. Like 82% sounds right, just because it's early in the season. You're still looking for that kind of early breakout. He looks, the ERA looks nice right now, but the rest of his peripherals don't support it. But I just think it's worth taking that risk.
Bradley or Fires?
It sounds crazy, and there's real concerns to have around Fires, but I'm just not a big Bradley guy, and I'd like Fires' chances to turn around better than I like Bradley's chances to sustain something close to what he's done. Even in the minors, he didn't have great strikeout numbers above advanced class A. So I just, eventually the BABIP good luck is going to run out with him. And, I just don't know. There's going to be something left over that you're really going to like using.
Yeah, I guess I can agree with that. Fires is more of the major league track record. The really high fly ball rate's really scary with Fires, though.
Yeah.
How about Fire or Bradley or Heston?
Heston for me.
Yeah, I guess. I don't feel super strongly about it.
Bradley or Joe Kelly?
I'll go Bradley.
I think I might take Kelly. I'm kind of weirdly intrigued by him.
Oh, so am I, Chris.
I can't explain it.
Even after last night's start.
He's got these little scary
chicks. Chicks dig the fastball, man.
Yeah, they do.
He's throwing harder this year. I didn't realize that until yesterday.
He's striking dudes out. 9.2 strikeouts per nine. Joe Kelly's throwing harder and striking more guys out this year.
Time for our email of the bleeping day, number one, from HH in the...
From Brian Price?
He's channeling Brian Price. HH in the bleeping Midwest. There are some bleeping players on my bleeping team that I'm sick and bleeping tired of looking at in my lineups or on my bench. When will these bleepers start bleeping hitting for bleep's sake? Seeking your bleeping wisdom on how long, games, dates, whatever for bleep's sake, that you would hang on to the following in roto bleeping leagues. Chris bleeping Carter, bleeping Evan Gaddis, bleeping Brandon Moss, Adam bleep Eaton, bleep all of them.
Well, I wouldn't bleep and drop any of them, with the possible exception of Eaton if we're talking about a shallower league.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in 12 teams, certainly a 12-team three outfielder league, I'd bleep and drop Eaton.
What about Moss?
I guess he is borderline there, too.
I mean, 38.6% strikeout rate right now. BABIP isn't really all out of whack. He's just not hitting for power, but he's not hitting at all right now. He just kind of looks lost.
Yeah, it'd be tough to drop him in a roto league, though.
Yeah. Yeah, the home runs are pretty rare.
Let's Adam Eaton. Yeah, go ahead, Al.
No, I was just going to say, I would drop Eaton without any sort of hesitation in a three outfielder league and might consider it in a five outfielder league. Moss, if I'm dropping him in a three outfielder league, it's because there's somebody I just absolutely have to roster and my alternatives for dropping are not good.
You're not dropping Carter or Gaddis, though, I don't think. Even if with how frustrating they've been, Carter's, both of their power potential is too great right now.
First place Astros.
There you go.
First place Astros. Adam Eaton, by the way, he's swinging the bat a little bit better. One of the outs he had yesterday was a hard line drive out. He's got two straight multiple hit games. He's actually in my FanDuel lineup tonight. But Al, what you're saying about him dropping him in a three outfielder league, I mean, he was fringy in that format anyway.
Yeah,
but I just think preach patience maybe in a five outfielder league with Eaton. Email of the day number two is from Tom in Michigan. What's the podcast consensus on Devin Travis? Could he be a legitimate breakout? And then we have a buy or sell from J-Rod. Devin Travis, top five second baseman, buy or sell?
I'm selling that.
Sell, yeah.
All right, but let's talk about could he be a legitimate breakout. Travis is 89% owned. He went 3-for-4 with a home run and two RBI. He's batting .367 with four homers, two walks, seven strikeouts. Very good start to the season for Travis.
Well, when we talk about breakouts for rookies, then we're talking about them. It's sort of like, I guess, the Jacob deGrom effect that they've exceeded in the major leagues, or they've, you know, they're exceeding what they did in the minors at the major league level. That's kind of how I would define it. So for Travis to do anything like this on a sustained basis would be a breakout. I just think the odds of it are so minuscule because he's coming up straight from double A. And this is so power wise, far above and beyond anything that he's ever done before.
That's the biggest thing for me. He's 5'9", but he ranks 21st in home run to fly ball ratio, right behind Adrian Gonzalez. I don't think he has Adrian Gonzalez power. I know the Blue Jays, the home park plays up for power, and they've had a tendency to get guys to play over their heads in power over the last couple of years, but I don't think there's any way that's sustainable. So we're going to see his power drop pretty dramatically in the long run.
Trivia question of the day, number one.
Okay.
Which is going to be obvious. Which qualifying hitter has the highest average fly ball distance in the major leagues?
It's going to be – no way, really?
Yeah.
Well, see, this is my thing with that kind of batted ball distance, and I wrote about this on the Fantasy Baseball Today blog yesterday. That number is – a lot of it's based on kind of conjecture. It's based on tracking data that's not done by, you know, the camera. That's what I'm looking forward to with the StatCast thing with – you know, they can tell us exactly how far the ball travels, because that could be skewed by him hitting a couple of long line drives that roll to the wall, and they maybe give him credit for it where the ball's picked up by the fielder rather than where it actually lands, something like that. So there's some noise in that data that, like, I really want to get my hands on that StatCast data.
There's even more noise than that because the samples are ridiculously small, too. So, yeah.
All right, so Devin Travis, would you guys put the sell high label on him if people were really buying in?
Yeah, I mean, if someone in your league is really high on him, if you've got a Blue Jays fan in your league that's really high, but it's hard to imagine someone seeing 14 games and going crazy about him, right?
Not in a deep league, though. You know, in a deep league where you're desperate for a second baseman and someone dangles Devin Travis at you, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody jumps on that. You know, like right now, I'm in a 16-team league. Absolutely terrible at second base. Right now it's Simeon, but I have to move him to shortstop soon. You know, weird eligibility rules. It's like Jed Jerko and Yanhervis Solarte are the best on waivers. So I'm not making a play for Devin Travis because I think I'd have to overpay for him right now.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that if someone's willing to overpay, I think that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, well,
you know,
you're not
going to
be me.
Just selling him for anything.
All right, FanDuel. FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contest. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Heath Cummings will come on later today and give you his DFS advice. Go to FanDuel.com and use the offer code CBS. FanDuel.com. Sign up right now. And I think as the year progresses, we'll get a better sense of who's legit. We'll get a better sense of lefty-righty splits and how players are doing in certain ballparks and things like that. The sample sizes are small right now. But FanDuel, I think, personally, I feel like I'll be more comfortable with it in about another 3 weeks or so. Not that I'm not playing, I am. But I think, you know, this is an interesting sport because there's going to be a lot of data that's going to be very helpful, and I'm really looking forward to playing this DFS throughout the season. And you know what else is fun about it? If you guys don't play, like, we started the podcast this morning, and before we started, the three of us were just kind of talking for a minute or two, and we didn't mention any of our seasonal leagues. We pretty much just talk about daily fantasy leagues. They have that kind of hook on you, so I would recommend giving it a try. You guys feel the same way? It's like, it's really fun and addicting and...
Oh, it's totally addictive.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's good stuff. All right, big news here. Pittsburgh sticking with Mark Melancon at closer. Yet, I picked up Tony Watson in two leagues last night, even knowing that, because I think there's a good chance he loses the job still, Melancon.
Yeah, well, he got the save last night, Watson. Yeah. Two-inning save, right?
Yeah, that was with Melancon not available. They said that before the game, and they also said they're sticking with him.
Right, but where I'm going with this is that Watson has been the eighth-inning guy.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really smart move, Adam, because now's the time to get Watson before an announcement's made and everybody's looking for the replacement on waivers. And Watson does look like the clear successor given the usage patterns.
Yeah, Melancon's velocity is way down. His effectiveness with the cutter is way down. His effectiveness with the curveball is way down. He's kind of a two-pitch pitcher, and neither one of them has been any good this season.
I also recommend, even if, let's say you want three closers on your pitching staff of nine pitchers and it's a roto league, whatever, You don't need a closer right now. I still recommend picking up a guy who could get saves. They become very valuable in your league. You could trade them. Or you could end up picking up a guy like Jake McGee last year who, all right, he was just an extra closer for me, but then he became elite. You know, and maybe Tony Watson, if he becomes the Pirates closer, could be better than one of the closers you already have. So even if there's not an immediate need, I think it's wise to pick up a guy that's just valuable in a vacuum, as we like to say.
Yeah, Watson's been really good the last couple years, and especially this season starting off.
Jose Bautista, you fool! Tried to throw out Delmon Young from right field, and you aggravated a shoulder injury, and you could end up on the DL. So, but Bautista says he might be able to do DH today, but there's some talk about him going on the DL. So keep an eye on that.
I'd rather he go on the DL at this point.
They'll get Michael Saunders back soon, so that could be a logical replacement. Matt Harvey's been pitching through a minor ankle injury. Says it's no big deal and he'll make his next start. Dexter Fowler left last night's game with groin tightness. Chris DeNorfia replaced him. The Rockies sent Willin Rosario down to play first base in the minors. What do you guys make of this?
Supposedly, could be a short stint in the minors. He's going to play first base down there. Short stint, long stint. It doesn't sound like, it's really going to help his value much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday that if, you know, Morneau goes down with an injury, if we continue slumping, maybe Rosario can see more time at first base. He'll be down at least 10 days, though.
Drew Smyly expected to start Friday. Joe Nathan had a setback during a minor league game.
His arm broke. Yeah. That's kind of like horrifying.
More than a setback.
Yeah.
It does sound bad, and I think right now you'd have to bet on Soria being the closer for a while, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And David Wright expected to miss 3 weeks with his injury. Wednesday's standouts. So we have a couple of options here. I could say, who stood out to you? But if you're not prepared to answer that question, as I find is often the case, I can just name some standouts and you can react.
Well, the guy who did stand out to me is on your list, so why don't you go ahead?
Is he Billy Butler?
No.
Is he Alex Guerrero?
No.
Is he Jimmy Nelson?
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, we'll come back to Butler and Guerrero. Jimmy Nelson, 77% owned, having a really good year. 1.35 ERA, 4 walks, 17 strikeouts in 20 innings, and pitched very well against the Reds last night, Al.
Yeah, and that's really the validation I was looking for a guy that I, you know, saw as a sleeper coming into the season. And, I like the formula of missing bats and getting grounders. And for the most part, that's what we've seen. Now, in this particular start, he actually allowed 11 fly balls against the Reds. But 10 swinging strikes, good rates in all three of his starts. So he looks like he's going to be the guy I thought he was going to be late last season.
Is Jimmy Nelson now the best pitcher on the Brewers?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Because, I thought it was going to be Fires. Not going to be him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if Fires can turn around, he still has more upside, but he's been bad.
I really want to have Alex Guerrero on my rosters in, you know, any roto league that requires a middle infielder or five outfielders. I'm not saying in like a 12-team points league with the smaller 21-man rosters, but I just think it makes too much sense. He's 28% owned. He had a pinch-hit homer off Madison Bumgarner. Just seems like a good option here. What do you think?
Well, where do we think he's most likely to see playing time? It's probably not the outfield, right? They've just got too many guys out there.
Probably not, but, you know, they do have Crawford, who's obviously a big injury risk.
So it would probably be third base where Uribe has been pretty bad, but Corey Seager's been playing a little third base in the minors, so it's possible that if Guerrero's defensive issues remain a problem, they could just skip him altogether. That's my concern with him.
I don't think
it's a huge concern, but it's something to look at.
Yeah, he's just such a good hitter. I mean, I feel like it makes sense. But, okay.
It makes sense to us, but you know, this is a year plus now where the Dodgers just don't seem interested.
And it really just seems to come down to his defense. They just don't seem to like the way he plays the infield.
Billy Butler, 2-for-4 with a home run, 4 RBI. He's 29 years old. You know, he's been in the league a while and he's been relevant for a while, but he's not old. Butler has slugged 412 and 379 in his last two seasons. So
I made fun of that contract when the A's signed him. It would be a totally Oakland Athletics thing for him to all of a sudden start hitting for power again.
What do you think? What do you think?
Well, you know how last year, especially early on, he just did nothing but hit ground balls and had no power, and obviously more power this time around. But he's got, right now, the highest ground ball rate of his career.
Yep.
I don't think it bodes well. And this early into the season, you know, we've seen weirder things from hitters. I can't really get too excited about the early power when the peripherals don't really back it up, and it's just more of what we've seen the last couple of years.
Okay, I'm going to make a blanket statement in for buy or sell here. I'm selling most of the A's hitters.
Okay.
In terms of their likelihood of doing what they've done so far?
I just think that they're off to a great start. I'll look up where they rank and run scored, but I'm guessing they lead the league. I just don't see it. In fact, the only hitter on the team that I think I wouldn't sell high on is Marcus Semien. Like, I would try to sell high on Vogt. I don't know.
Well, you're not selling high on a guy who's hitting 250.
Yeah, okay, but I think better things are to come for Semien, and I think worse things are to come for everyone else in the lineup.
I think worse things are definitely to come, but, you know, I like Steven Vogt. I don't think he's going to fall off entirely. I think he's going to be a very useful catcher for the rest of the season.
I feel the same way about Reddick. Not that he's going to be a useful catcher, but, you know.
Reddick? Reddick?
I'm...
Yeah, well, Reddick.
When are we going to get off Reddick?
Not now.
I'm the last person left on Brett Lowry Island.
Oh, Brett Lowry is... What?
It's just me and some native fauna and flora. So
what is wrong with you guys? These guys are bad. They've been bad like for basically their entire careers. Reddick had like one good half a season, and he's been bad ever since. Brett Lowry is not in Toronto anymore.
Well, when you said a good half season, I thought you were talking about the end of last season.
No, that one like first half of that one season 3 years ago, 2012.
Look, you're talking to two guys who really liked Moneyball, so. So we're blinded by Billy Bean.
Oh, man. All right. You guys can have him. Reddick is so... Wow.
You weren't impressed late last year when Reddick just never struck out?
Not really. I mean, I guess I'd have to look it up again. But overall for the season, 264 with 12 home runs. Like, what is he going to do? He has to hit home runs because his batting average stinks. Are you thinking that his batting average could be good?
That is what I'm thinking because he stopped striking out.
How long of a sample was that?
To make sure that I'm not cuckoo here. All right, so second half last year, 55 games, hit .299, 8 home runs, and again that's in 55 games, so that's pretty decent power. Plus 13 doubles.
Okay.
And only 20 strikeouts in 184 bats.
And 10.5 strikeout percentage so far this season.
Yeah, only 4 strikeouts.
Yeah, keeping that going.
I will stand by what I said about Reddick, but I am now realizing something I didn't realize. Thank you, Al.
You're welcome. It's I'm glad to help.
I just prefer to look at the bigger sample of his career, in which he's mostly been bad.
Well, you do that.
Okay, and Brett Lurie, yeah, you're on Lurie Island there, Chris.
Look, it's just I'm talking to a coconut that I carved a face into.
David Price, guys, anything to say about him? 51 pitches in the first inning.
Yeah, he had one bad start.
Okay.
He's one of the 3 best pitchers in baseball.
Oh, disagree.
Okay, he's one of the 6 best pitchers in baseball. I was off by a factor of .001. He's
fine.
I
probably would agree with that. any other standouts that you guys are dying to talk about from Wednesday?
No, you know that I don't prepare for the segment.
We talked about Archie Bradley. I'm very concerned about that kind of start with him. The ERA tells you one story, and literally everything else he's doing tells you a different one. So I'm not buying in.
Cool. How droppable are these two guys in a 12-team league? Jared Weaver and Doug Fister.
In Roto, Weaver's pretty droppable.
I think even in points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we do a dropometer?
Oh, yeah. The dropometer is out. 0 to 10. 0 is definitely holding on to this guy. 10 is dropping him in yesterday. All right. Go ahead. Jared Weaver.
Weaver is an 8 for me.
Yeah, I go 7.
Fister.
10. But you know, I don't believe in Fister.
Here's the question. If he's a 10 on the drop meter, where's Tanner Roark on the Addometer?
Well, on the Nationals drop meter, I think Pfister's probably a 1.
Yeah.
On my personal one, he's a 10. So, you know, I think Roark should be having a lot of value right now, but alas.
His fastball velocity has kind of disappeared, Doug Pfister. He's down to 86.1 miles per hour on average with his fastball.
Whoa.
He was never a super hard thrower, but that's real
bad.
That's
Jared Weaver territory. That's a little bit better than Weaver.
And, you know, that holds up through his strikeout rate, only 3.79 strikeouts per 9, 5.6 swinging strike rate. It's not great.
All right. The thing with Pfister is I understand where you guys are coming from. The strikeout rate, not good. But I do feel like he could get you quality starts, wins, and ERA.
He can.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
And whip. Honestly, I feel like he could be good at everything but strikeouts. What do you think, Al?
Good, but not great. I think he needs to be great. And I think if you're looking at a couple years ago with the Tigers, when he just did nothing but throw strikes and was pretty good at getting grounders, that would have worked with this lower swinging strike rate and strikeout rate, but he's not there anymore. This is more like early Mariners Doug Pfister that nobody wanted.
I want to talk about some guys in deeper leagues, and I want you to tell me if any of them need to be owned in more leagues. They're all owned in 26% of leagues or less. Micah Johnson, last 5 games, a modest 6-for-15 stretch. He had 2 hits and a run yesterday, and he was caught stealing. 2 steals in his last 5 games. That's Micah Johnson. Chris Young for the Yankees, crushing it right now. And he hit .282 with 3 home runs and 71 at-bats in September for the Yankees last year. He's batting .368 with 4 homers already. Cody Ashe homered yesterday. He's batting .340. Jared Cozart had a good start at Philadelphia. Most players do have good starts at Philadelphia. Jay Happ, 1-1 with a .261 ERA, has not pitched in a hitter's park yet.
You know what really stinks for that is I actually considered starting Happ in DFS yesterday, overpriced to save money.
Strikeouts are so important, though, in DFS.
Yeah.
They're so important. Vance Worley and Mike Pelfrey. We got Micah Johnson, Chris Young, Cody Ashe as hitters, Cozart, Worley, and Pelfrey as pitchers.
What is this weird new Chris Young thing where he doesn't strike out?
Let me tell you something about the Yankees.
It doesn't make any
sense.
Except
against pitching machines.
Let me tell you something about the Yankees here, guys. Yesterday they faced David Price. In Tampa Bay they faced Jake Odorizzi. They have pretty much faced average pitchers or worse the entire season. This was the first ace that the Yankees have faced. Because it occurred to me they were hitting a lot better than I anticipated. Like A-Rod, Teixeira's got 5 or 6 home runs. But they just have faced lousy pitching. Now, the AL East is kind of littered with lousy pitching, in my opinion. And especially now that Tampa Bay's not healthy yet. So that might continue. Chris Young is going to cool off, but I just think it's kind of interesting to look at the Yankees, put it in perspective that they have had great matchups, in my opinion, through the first 2.5 weeks. But yeah, you guys can talk about Young. I think the biggest thing here is this. I really could see him taking over for Carlos Beltran, at least temporarily.
I think he needs to do that to have mixed league consideration. And I do think eventually we're going to see that .250 batting average. I mean, it would be interesting if he did, you know, pull a Reddick and suddenly became a much better contact hitter, but I'm not ready to assume that after 2.5 weeks. We're still talking about this in early May. That's going to be a pretty interesting story.
He got off to such a hot start when the Yankees picked him up last year. I said he hit 3 home runs in September, but I think they were all like in the first week or two. He went crazy.
He struck out in 20% of his plate appearances with the Yankees last season, so it's a little lower than expected, but I don't know if it's meaningful yet.
And there's a double whammy with Young in terms of batting average, because even if he strikes out less, he's consistently been one of the most pop-up prone hitters.
Yeah.
And I'm going to check.
Although that can go hand-in-hand with striking out less. You have better bat control, you'll pop up the ball, but, you know, that's hypothetical, I guess.
I feel like when I do a podcast with the two of you, like I have to represent the non-analytics baseball fan base.
You can just call us nerds. It's okay.
No, it's fine. You're not nerds, but you guys
beat us up and steal our money.
No, you guys are nerds. All right, so Micah Johnson, Chris Young, Cody Ashe. Of the three, who would you be looking at? Who would you be looking at and saying underowned?
I guess Johnson, and just because you're making me pick one.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd necessarily say it for any of them, but Johnson sounds right.
How about Cozart, Happen, Worley, and Pelfrey?
Well, I think Worley definitely at 14%. The only concern there is just job security whenever Morton returns. But
yeah, I'm not going to buy into Jay Happ or Mike Pelfrey. But Worley sounds right. And Cozart, I guess in a head-to-head league, if he can start racking up innings, he's a little underowned, but probably not.
Bold Yankees prediction for AL-only owners. We're talking about Young. We're talking about Beltran. Garrett Jones will be more valuable than both of them by June 1st. Or from June 1st on.
Okay. If they never let him face a lefty.
They might not.
He cannot hit lefties at all.
I think A-Rod will cool off and he'll start DHing against lefties. I think he'll play outfield against lefties.
Righties.
Righties. Sorry, righties. All right, buy or sell from Barry Baker. Buy or sell Nelson Cruz, 40 home runs this season.
He's on that pace, but I'll sell it just because of that park.
And I'll sell it just because I thought even before the season that the park wasn't going to hurt him that much, and I still think I had him down for the 35, so sell.
From Dave Indeed, buy or sell Yordano Ventura some muscle cream so he stops hurting himself after every start.
Yeah, but then you have to give him an 80-game suspension to go on top of it, so I'll sell it.
He pitches tonight. We'll see what happens. Real 9, buy or sell Jake Odorizzi finishes as a top 35 starting pitcher.
I'm going to sell that. He's got to show it on the road consistently.
I'll buy it.
I like him tonight, first of all. I'll get into that later. He's home against the Red Sox. I'm very intrigued, and he's got one road start this year, and it was awesome. But, okay, we'll see what happens with Odorizzi. Dave, another one from Dave. Dave, you got two in here. Buy or sell Mark Trumbo is droppable in a 10-team league.
Buying that right now.
Yeah.
Okay, but Mark Trumbo is going to get, like, crazy. First of all, he's hitting, like, 280-something, which is really good for him. He's going to get crazy hot and have one of those three-week stretches where he hits 8 home runs. I don't know that I'd want to drop him.
In a 10-team league, yeah, I'll take that risk.
Yeah, okay. He is droppable in a 10-team league, I guess. Steven Souza Jr. outperforms Will Myers in 2015. This is from Zach Kirby. Buy or sell?
Buy it because I thought it would happen before the season. I was one of the ones that was really high on Souza.
My gut says buy it, so if I have Myers ranked higher, then I need to change my rankings.
Myers is going to be like Matt Carpenter 2 years ago. I think Rendon last year. He already leads the league in runs scored, and that is going to do a lot for his value.
And I do have Souza ranked higher, so all is good.
And I wasn't saying he'll be better than Souza, but I feel like that needs to be stated. Guys,
I mean, he leads the league in runs, but he's got a .338 on base percentage. That comes with a .360 BABIP. It seems like if the BABIP falls a little bit, he's probably, 15 runs with a .338 BABIP or on base percentage, he's probably scored on 80% of his times on base so far.
But he's on pace for like 150 runs.
Yeah, that's going
to
fall off.
Yeah, I know, but I still think he could score 100 to 110 if he's leading off for the Padres.
He's been on base 24 times, and he's scored 15 times. So that's right around, 65%? That seems high.
Okay. Geeks.
Don't mess with the
nerds.
It's high.
All right, Bill, buy or sell. Rusne Castillo gets healthy, finishes as the top Boston outfielder, and a top 30 outfielder overall.
I am not only selling, he's going to be the number 3 outfielder behind Mookie Betts and Hanley.
Yeah, I'll sell that for sure.
From Craig Hall, buy or sell, Dustin Pedroia will lead all second basemen in homers.
There's no way he catches Devin Travis. I'm selling anyway.
Yeah, sell it, but it's not a super tough field.
I'm going to ask this question. I'm thinking Chris might be the only one who answers because it was in the 8th inning, which means past Al's bedtime. Last night, D. Gordon triple or error? What should have been?
That was... You gotta say it was an error. It hit his glove. It hit the inside of his glove too. It wasn't, It wasn't even a... It wasn't like he just missed it completely. It was just a weird play.
Buy or sell, Al was asleep.
I mean, it was only like 9:15, 9:20. He
really?
Was probably asleep.
Yeah,
you gotta sell that one. I was still awake, but I was getting ready for bed.
Okay. Okay, Charlie says, last time the Mets won 10 straight in April, they won the World Series in 1986. Buy or sell, this team can do it too.
Screw it, they're gonna do it. Buy it.
I'm selling it.
I'm gonna have to sell it. I did pick them as the second wild card, but I'm not gonna go beyond that.
And Aaron Gardner, are you buying or selling the hot starts by Trevor Bauer, Shane Green, and Anthony DeSclafani?
Well, I'm definitely selling all three in terms of they're definitely not going to, you know, Anthony DeSclafani's not going to finish the season with an ERA under one. But as far as that representing a new standard of performance, I think I'd probably sell all three as well.
I'm going to buy Bauer, sell the other two.
Eric W. Burns.
In the sense that Chris just defined it.
Eric W. Burns
has control problems for me. That's the issue.
Yeah, I mean he's going to drop off some because of that. It's going to hurt him, but I think he's definitely reached a new level. Whiff rate is I think around 14% right now. I mean, and I actually think he can sustain something close to that, and that's going to carry him a long way.
Eric W. Burns, Jonathan Papelbon will finish the year on his beloved Phillies, thereby thwarting Ken Giles from achieving mixed league value.
Boo! And I saw it too.
Yeah, sell it. I did drop Giles in a 12-team Roto League, though.
Time to talk pleasant surprises. If we have time, we'll look at Dickerson, Wong, Solarte, Kennis Vargas, Sandoval, Betts, and a bunch of aces who pitched yesterday. We, of course, will have some DFS talk in about 12 minutes. But who are three pleasant surprises for you guys? Chris, I'll start with you.
Steven Vogt. Picked him up late in the league. He's been fantastic since I lost Jonathan Lucroy and apparently lost Mike Zunino. Nolan Arenado, not striking out at all, ever. And Michael Pineda and Masahiro Tanaka for somewhat strange reasons. Tanaka, it's mostly just he's stayed healthy so far, and he's looked decent. ERA aside, he's striking guys out. He's not walking them. I think he's looked okay. And Pineda, his changeup looks like it could take him to another level.
Yes, his numbers are not good right now, but
5 ERA, but a lot of strikeouts, very few walks, a lot of ground balls. I think there's something to like about him.
Al, three pleasant surprises.
The most interesting man in Major League Baseball to me right now is Miguel Gonzalez. He has, through three starts, again, you know, small sample disclaimer here, he's gone from being an extreme fly ball pitcher to an extreme ground ball pitcher, which is just weird. And getting tons of whiffs when he's kind of trending towards being more of a contact pitcher. So really different profile. And it's not just, you know, skewed by like one really crazy start. So, I'm definitely looking at Gonzalez because if he's, you know, moving in this direction, he's going to be he's actually going to be a must start guy. And I know we throw that term around, but I mean, he's profiling as a must start guy right now.
I have a homework assignment for you nerds. I want you to look at Miguel Gonzalez and his splitter because he threw it a lot against the Yankees and he struck out a career high 10 Yankees, I think.
Pitch FX defines it as a changeup, I guess.
It's a split change.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to look at when he uses it a lot, he gets a lot of strikeouts. From what I could tell, like, I went back a couple of years and, you know, there are some starts here or there where Gonzalez uses that pitch a lot. But if you guys want to do some research on that, could be a good Fantasy Baseball Today blog post.
Fangraphs does rate it out as his either his best or his second best pitch with his slider. So
yeah, I did some research because I included him in a recent column, and it just mostly seems to be a location issue with all of his pitches.
Okay.
Rather than arsenal related, but we could dig some more.
Who else? Two other pleasant surprises.
All right. Jose Iglesias, speaking of hitters who have ceased to strike out. And, you know, I've been down on Iglesias pretty much every time he comes up until like today. But, he has struck out. I'm just double checking. Okay. He's up to 4 now, but, I mean, still a pretty crazy contact rate. And he's been much more selective. In fact, he's got 5 walks, which doesn't sound incredible until you realize that 2 seasons ago, which was the last time he played, over the course of the whole year, he had 15 walks. And he's already got 5. So there's a lot more selectivity there.
One stolen base off his career high.
Yeah, I mean, initially I wasn't that intrigued by the steals because I thought, well, if everything else is kind of status quo and this could just be one of those little steal streaks. But, I mean, the whole picture looks really good for Iglesias right now.
All right. And one more?
All right, and I'll stay at shortstop. Zach Cozart, who I thought had some really, really mild sleeper potential this year just because he had the power a couple seasons back that then disappeared last year, but seemed like it could come back, and it has in the early going. But he also, this is another guy who's just had a early season transformation where he's gone from being one of the most pull-happy hitters in the majors to being one of the least pull-happy hitters in the majors over the first 2.5 weeks.
Interesting.
So even if it's a small sample thing, just the extremeness of that change has me intrigued.
All right, that's very interesting. That puts those guys on radars in maybe shallower leagues where you keep an eye on Iglesias and Cozart, because they're owned probably in deeper leagues. But if you're not buying it, maybe a little bit more success, you should be buying it.
I'm going to throw in one more real quick just because I think...
I said three!
You'll like this one.
Okay, now go ahead.
Hector Santiago.
Oh, thank you. Hector Santiago.
See, I knew you'd like that.
I might pick him up, man.
I guess I need to get to it because I think he should be picked up.
Yeah.
Better control now.
Just look at those numbers with the White Sox on the road. Really good. Last year was just terrible for him. All right, I got three for you. J-Riz Familia, he's got 7 saves. I really don't see a reason why they should go away from Familia.
Agreed. He's been great.
Jock Peterson, he's walking a ton. I don't know what they're going to do against lefties with him. They sat him against Bumgarner last night. That was only the second lefty they faced, I think. I might be confusing him with someone else. But Granderson, by the way, sat against a lefty last night. But Peterson, you know, 293, 2 home runs, 1 steal and 4 attempts. And I see that, and I think maybe he just has to learn the pitchers a little bit more, but maybe the steals could come. What do you think about Jock Peterson?
Well, I mean, I agree with that in terms of the steals. And he's got that, you know, Springer-type profile and Springer-type upside, which also gives me an opportunity to just shoehorn in there. Springer has 4 steals now.
Cool.
He just starts hitting.
There you go.
But no, I think Peterson will, you know, I think he'll be not quite as good as, say, Springer was last year, but, you know, still a guy that you'll want to start.
And Matt Carpenter, off to a great start, batting .377 with 3 home runs. But I think what's just really encouraging is, you know, he's 6 walks, 6 strikeouts, but 7 doubles. That's what made him so good.
Yeah.
2 years ago, and also
he's so solid.
He's also scored 12 runs. It was the runs and the doubles that made him, you know, really good 2 years ago. So I think just leading off for the Cardinals, I think Carpenter could have a bounce back year. Anybody disagree?
I do not.
Well, let's go through some more injuries, news, and notes. Shane Victorino day to day with a hamstring issue. Matt Shoemaker's on the bereavement list. He is expected to make his next start,
but he's not starting today. Being Thursday, Nick Tropiano.
Nick Tropiano, yes. Yeah. C.J. Wilson also pushed back to Saturday, so it's Tropiano going against the A's, right? Yeah.
That's correct.
Steven Sousa, forearm cramp, no big deal. Starling Marte, x-rays were negative. He was hit by a pitch. Jody Mercer still day-to-day. Jung Ho Gong started again last night, went 1-for-2. Ian Kennedy or Adrisa Mertespagne, it's up in the air Saturday for San Diego. Ryan Vogelsong, is going to start today against the Dodgers.
Did you just call him Vogelthong?
No, I think I said Vogelstong or something like that. But that's gross, Al.
I didn't say it. Well, I mean, I said it, but.
Steve Pierce sat again. Where's Steve Pierce on the dropometer? 12-team league.
He's like a 2 or 3. I don't think you're looking to drop him.
I was thinking 5, like starting to think about it.
Kristen Yelich was out again with a back injury. Is Jacob Realmuto the starting catcher now for Miami?
Boy, I hope so. No, it seems like he is.
Yeah.
And Curtis Granderson sat for a lefty for the second time in 3 opportunities against left-handed starters this year. And Aaron Hill started at third base for Arizona with Yasmani Tomas sitting. Got 3 up, 3 down, rotation, and then some DFS. So 3 up, Corey Dickerson hit 2 homers. Colton Wong is batting .325. He hit his first home run. And Yanhervis Solarte homered. He's got 2. He's batting .343, and he's basically replacing Jed Jerko right now. Wong, by the way, has raised his batting average over 100 points in the last 2 games. Dickerson, Wong, Solarte, any comments?
Well, for Dickerson, that was really huge for me because with the plantar fasciitis, that 1-for-17 skid really had me kind of scared.
Yeah.
Not so much now.
I don't blame you. Solarte or Jerko, do you guys think Solarte might be worth adding?
No, I don't think there's going to be enough playing time or production.
And three down, Kenneth Vargas. Completely droppable or wait it out?
What kind of format? 12 team?
Yes. 12 team. Yeah, he's 41% roto, so. Roto with like a corner infield.
12 team, yeah, I do think he's droppable.
All right, how about Pablo Sandoval and actually Mookie Betts? They're both in three down. They're both struggling. Sandoval got off to a terrible start in 40 games last year. He's batting 204. But he's got no power so far this year. And Betts is really not having a very good year. So, just any thoughts on those two Red Sox?
Well, I said before, I think in the end, Betts will be topped only by Hanley in productivity in the Red Sox outfield. There's just way too much talent and skill there for him to not bounce back. And we saw this, you know, last year too, where he was ice cold initially and then he really heated up. So I'm not too worried about Betts. And Sandoval, even though he was a bust for me this year, I mean, I didn't expect him to be this bad, and I don't still.
We had some aces going yesterday. We had Kluber, got roughed up a little bit. Don't think he should have come out for the seventh. That was dumb. Johnny Cueto, another great outing, and he threw 125 pitches, but once again, he is striking out a lot of guys, continuing a theme from last year. Bumgarner bounced back a little bit. I would say it was a pretty solid bounce back. And Jeff Samardzija, another good start, two in a row, although he didn't strike out a lot of guys. And Cole Hamels, good, not great. A little wild so far.
Better than it seemed. The defense was really bad last night for the Phillies.
But the walks are concerning. He's walking a batter every other inning. What do you guys, anything to say about these five aces?
I'm not worried about Kluber. So it's really no change for any of them. I'd say other than Hamels, I may drop him a few spots. I think I've got him 12th or 13th. So, you know, I still see him as nothing worse than a number two SP.
Cool. Fringy starting pitchers, John Lackey, Jimmy Nelson, Joe Kelly, Jason Hamill, Ubaldo Jimenez, and Aaron Sanchez. They pitched last night. Lackey, Nelson, Kelly, Hamill, Jimenez, Sanchez. I'm done with Jimenez. I feel stupid for even buying in for a half a second after his
first start. It's 2015, man.
Yeah, he's not throwing hard, and he's still walking everybody.
7 years.
I know. Last year, I was like the first one to say he's terrible. This year,
he was good then. Sam Fold was having a breakout year.
There you go.
This year, I was the first one to pick him up, and now I feel like an idiot. Anyway, how about Aaron Sanchez, guys? Still
Why is he
for
still
him?
Owned in 39% of leagues?
Yeah, that's bad.
He's just not ready. At least not for a starting role. Maybe he'd be good in the bullpen again.
Wade Davis.
Wait, hey, he's here.
He could be Wade Davis.
I think so.
Or Luke Ojaber.
Sans the strikeouts, but.
Well, yeah.
Could he be their closer at some point?
I mean, the competition's not exactly fierce in Toronto. It's possible. He would have to be put into the bullpen first.
Oh, hey, by the way, Steven Geltz got a save last night for the Rays. Yeah, I thought that was weird.
That situation's such a disaster. Brad Boxberger, I think, came in the seventh last night.
We were talking about this, though. Does this make you feel better about Jake McGee when he comes back?
I think
because nobody's taking that job, or when he comes back, they're still going to do this.
Wasn't this just a matchups thing, though, where Cash wanted Boxberger to face the meat of the order?
That was the other question I had. I wasn't sure about
possibly,
that.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. I think it does make you feel better about McGee. I think the fact that nobody's taken the job, nobody's run away with it.
It makes me feel worse about the whole situation because I thought, and I still think Boxberger's the guy, if there is a guy, but I just think that Cash might get, you know, kind of cute. And
what about when McGee's back, though? You think when McGee's back, Boxberger still has a better chance to get saves?
I do, okay. Yeah.
In fairness to Cash, can we give him a little bit of credit for having the stones, what we've wanted to do managers to do for like 5 years now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as a baseball fan, I applaud it. As a fantasy owner, I hate it.
Kind of weird, though, in the seventh. I feel like in the eighth, it's more normal. In the seventh, you might see those guys again in the ninth. All it takes is two hits, and two of them are coming up
again
in the
ninth. It's because they've scored runs. So
no, not necessarily. You get three base runners in two innings, you know, then you've got You got them up in the ninth. I think it was a little early for that.
Oh.
But it worked. They won. Hey, Heath.
Yeah.
How are we today?
Well, you know, I started my column today off talking about how gross baths are.
Like,
why did you give your kid a bath or something?
As in, you know, sitting in your own filth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got some anti-bath.
Because I took a bath in Daily Fantasy last night. A different kind of bath.
Can I just tell you a tip for baths?
Take a shower first?
Yeah.
And afterwards?
Well, no, not after. Take a shower first, make sure the bathtub's clean, and get in the bath.
Okay.
It's for special occasions.
Actually, I think I said exactly that. If you took a shower before or after, you're okay. But who takes a shower and then takes a bath?
I take a if I ever take a bath, which I don't anymore because I don't have the space, I take
York
a shower.
Real estate prices, yeah, am I right?
Precisely. I take a shower for like, you know, a minute, wash off, get clean, and then I take a bath. I don't want to sit in my own filth like you did last night.
This is definitely going on Twitter. Right next to a picture of the standings in the Rotisserie Real Draft League.
Oh, the best draft I ever had.
The
I'm
best.
Killed.
You may have actually said that.
Oh, I loved that team. I'm in dead last.
The worst pitching staff I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, Matt Harvey, Madison Bumgarner, Michael Pineda. Worst pitching staff ever. The team is so good, and they're the Brewers of that league right now.
You got like a 6 ERA.
That's awful. Okay, sorry, Heath. Who do we like tonight in DFS? We got about 5 minutes left.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we got a little bit of time. Well, it's a split slate today. So we got an 8-game slate starting in just a couple hours. 4-game slate tonight. Now, the 4-game slate has the larger prizes, so we're trying to focus on both. For the day slate, I'm going with Scherzer against the Cardinals. He's been so good. Do you know how good Max Scherzer's been?
How good is he?
Incredibly good. He's got a terrible defense. He's got a bullpen that's not helping him out. An offense won't score any runs. And he's been really, really good. So I'm sticking with Scherzer. If I go cheap, I'm going to go with Jeff Locke against the Cubs. I kind of like, for tournament plays, starting pitchers against the Cubs, because I feel like the Cubs have a really high variance offense. They got a lot of guys that go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, where they could put up 12 runs.
Okay. So it's a bit of a gamble, but...
Well, that's what tournaments are. It's gambles. You want high variance plays. So, and Locke's been pretty good so far, although he's done it against the Brewers twice.
Yeah, the rest of the pitching options aren't great.
What's that?
The rest of the pitching options aren't great.
No, they're not. I mean, you could, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Okay. Scherzer or Locke. Tonight, I think you have to pretty much play Chris Sale.
No, you don't.
Who are you going to pitch? Who are you going to go with?
Jake Odorizzi. All in here. Look, 2 starts at home last year against the Red Sox. He was awesome. He's the third most expensive pitcher. But I just really like him. This year, I just really like him, especially at home.
Okay, I can understand that. And I think Odorizzi is a little bit of what I talked about with Locke.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good tournament or variance play. I'm not 100% in on the Jake Odorizzi. He's made this transformation, and he's not still going to have awful games sometimes. So Sale is my top pitcher. But, yes, I would play Odorizzi in tournaments.
Okay. So there are 4 games tonight, and – Heath, I think maybe a lot of runs in that Blue Jays-Orioles game.
Blue Jays are my favorite stack of the evening against Chris Tillman.
Cool. Reyes has amazing numbers against Chris Tillman, and Tillman just got torched by the Blue Jays in his last outing, and he's got bad numbers lately at Toronto.
Yeah. I don't think you want to start Chris Tillman for sure. Offensive stacks, it's tough because you want to play the Padres and Rockies again, but they're so expensive. They've just gotten more expensive every day. So if you go with Scherzer, you really can't afford to play them. I think the stack that I like the most is the Reds at Kyle Loesch. Loesch is a guy that we all thought was pitching over his head. Like, how does he keep doing this? How does he keep doing this? And maybe it's just our desire to feel right that we feel like, okay, now that he's had a bad start, aha, this is what he really is.
Any other cheap plays that you like today? And if Chris or Al, if you guys want to chime in, I don't know if you've looked yet, but go for it.
I've just been looking, and I like Odorizzi. So I think that's a good play in terms of value vis-a-vis Sale. I think the Marlins might be a good stack against McGowan. Now you can make the argument that
the Marlins are the Marlins.
Man, I just hate it when people come on here and they're homers and they just talk about the team they'd like.
Yeah, I know. It's annoying.
Says the
By
Davis
the way,
guy.
Joe Nathan has a torn ACL, UCL.
Oh, man.
That's too... Al was throwing a party yesterday over...
Al! That's
yeah,
not
was
nice.
It really? Maybe just a small one inside my brain.
2 minutes
I'm,
left.
I'm a terrible person.
My bargains. Andrelton Simmons, you know that I love him. 2,600 against Bartolo. Asdrubal Cabrera, 2,400 against Buchholz. And I had this guy yesterday as a bargain, and he's still there. Ben Revere, still only 2,800 against Phelps.
Does this stat mean anything to you? Evan Longoria, third most expensive third baseman, 8-for-40 with no home runs. I think only one extra base hit, or maybe three doubles. 8-for-40 against Clay Buchholz in his career. Buchholz, nope. By the way, very good numbers at Tampa Bay. Does mean
I just
anything?
Think anytime you're talking about a matchup versus Buchholz, you're talking about a matchup against like a whole rotation of pitchers because yeah. you don't know which Buchholz you're going to get.
But the thing is, like Longoria being the third most expensive third baseman, having bad career numbers against Buchholz, and just being pretty bad so far.
Well, I'll go with that reasoning.
Look around a little bit at the third baseman. Okay, look above him, look
for
below
tonight?
Him, unless you're going to pay up for Donaldson.
My third baseman tonight is Machado.
So for $100 less, you're choosing Manny Machado over Evan Longoria.
Manny Machado against who's Toronto's
Drew
crappy
Hutchison.
Pitcher? Yeah, against Hutchison tonight over Longoria, absolutely.
I haven't looked at the price.
Longoria's been terrible.
Machado is $100 less than Longoria.
And what's Harrison?
Oh, he's a
Harrison
day game.
Is $3,100.
But he's a day game.
Less
than Machado. I like that value against Hendricks.
But Al, but I think he's a day game.
You're not gonna. But see, Al does get to make that decision because unlike us, Al a lot of times plays the all day slate because he just plays 50-50s.
Okay.
And so I'll do it again today. Yeah.
Al gets to make that decision. Don't take that away from him.
All right, guys. We ran out of time for the reboot. No, you know what? We'll just go long today. I'm gonna read a whole bunch of reboot ideas. For the next Netflix
yes.
series.
Okay.
Andrew says Guts should be a reboot.
I'd be down with that.
I'd be 100% down with that.
I've never seen Guts.
Oh,
me neither.
You don't know life.
Matt Williams says Alf should be a reboot.
Awesome. That
yeah.
is awesome.
No, that needs to happen.
Chris Bunn. Okay.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Chris Bunn says Fresh Prince.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
It was good. I don't know that I just feel like you couldn't redo that one.
Okay.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah,
unless it's his family.
Will Smith in there. Fresh Prince.
You know he would drag his son in it too. That's like
yeah, that's the problem. It would have to have Jaden.
Yeah.
Andrew says a gritty version of Inspector Gadget.
So like Daredevil with Inspector Gadget just like beating dudes in the street senseless.
Yeah, yeah. Like with a bunch
of gadgets.
Don't
we have that with Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, no. He doesn't. It's campy.
If you think about it, isn't Batman kind of like a gritty Inspector Gadget?
Yeah, he's not, you know, a cyborg, but other than that.
Well, Inspector Gadget isn't a cyborg.
Is he? He is.
No, he just has, like, man-made parts that make him...
No, he's like a human robot.
No, like... he's a guy.
No,
yeah, but he's got, like, robot parts. His, like, arms and, like, isn't there some kind of accident that he had?
Is Iron Man a cyborg?
No, Iron Man wears an exoskeleton.
Okay, I think that he is built in different...
No, he is a human being who then puts a suit on.
What's the thing in his heart?
I guess you could say he's kind of a cyborg because of the thing in his heart. But, like, Inspector Gadget, his powers
okay,
are
I think you're
based
right.
on
I think you're right.
A surgical procedure.
I didn't realize this.
He's more like the $6 million man.
I didn't realize this. All right, last
I think
one.
I could be entirely wrong.
That last one from Mike Thomas, Quantum Leap, which apparently was a great show.
I've never seen it either.
It wasn't a bad show. It was a really good... The nice part about Quantum Leap was you didn't really have to pay attention to any of the other episodes.
It wasn't like serialized.
And if it just happened to show up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you wanted to watch it, you could.
I could go with a Dinosaurs reboot.
I was going to say, that
was a great show.
I'd watch that.
What'd you say, Heath?
Do we get to pick our own now?
Sure.
Yeah,
this is the longest podcast of the year, but go for it.
I want the Dukes of Hazzard.
I thought that was rebooted. Or no, that was a movie.
It was a movie. Terrible movie.
And I want Willie Nelson to play Uncle Jesse in the entire series because he was outstanding in that role.
I think my favorite line from Dinosaurs was food for thought. Thought from food. Because you had the talking food.
I never saw Dinosaurs either.
Yeah.
And I would pick, let's reboot Pee Wee Herman.
All right.
Pee Wee's Playhouse.
What?
Pee Wee's Playhouse. Let's reboot that.
Oh, it's awful.
That is
so terrible.
Chris, Al, reboots?
I said Dinosaurs.
Oh, Al?
You know what? I like what Joe Myers says here. Why can't people just be happy with what they have?
Works for me. I'm very happy with today's show, and we're back tomorrow with some sell-high candidates for you on Friday's show. For Heath, Al, and Chris, I'm Adam. Later.